happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum. It's National Coming Out Day. And
well, it is as we're taping. By the time people see this, we'll be a little
bit. I am gay and about to turn 69. I'm going to be out about all of it.
Oh, good for you, Andy. Well, I'm a lesbian, so I guess I'm coming out about that. But the reason it's National Coming Out Day is also because today, October 11th, is the 35th anniversary of the 1987 March on Washington for Lesbian and Gay Rights, which is what it was called at that time. So today, is as we tape, October 11th is a very important day, and we've got a lot of news today.
We do. Well, a Texas federal judge, damn them, has blocked the U.S. guidance on protecting transgender workers.
That is annoying. There, I will say, just so we don't paint with a broad brush, that we have also had some good decisions from a Texas judge about helping trans kids who need medical care. And also good news, students by the hundreds at the University of Florida this week vigorously protested, and I mean screaming and yelling, the nomination of an anti-gay U.S. senator to be the next school's president.
John Stewart, you remember him, he eviscerated the Arkansas Attorney General over her indefensible ban on gender-affirming care, health care, for minors.
Yeah, it was fun to watch. And the lawsuit of Anthony Rapp, the actor, against Kevin Spacey, it's actually not for sexual abuse. It's for battery and, we'll get to it. Battery and intentional infliction of emotional distress. That civil suit is underway. Okay. Rapp was 14 during the encounter.
We'll fix that headline. Okay. We have the first Eastern European nation to enact marriage equality. Which one could it be?
And we have another Nobel Prize for an out LGBTQ scientist.
We are everywhere. They must be doing it in honor of National Coming Out Day.
Yeah.
An American negotiator says Brittany Griner may be released by the end of the year.
God, I hope so. Her wife is not so happy about a phone call with her. An out bisexual singer has the number one hit on Billboard's Hot 100 chart.
And I've got two Broadway shows to recommend.
Okay, so we should get to the news. This Texas decision is not happy.
No.
A judge in Texas says that the Supreme Court's Bostock decision, which said you can't discriminate against LGBT employees, is fine, but that the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission went way too far in putting out the rules about how to implement that. Said that the Bostock decision covers sort of status, your sexual orientation or gender identity, but not correlated conduct.
Yep. And he also says Texas doesn't have to follow the guidance. He's a former deputy general counsel, this judge, for the First Liberty Institute that represents conservative Christian causes. In 2015, he declared marriage equality and LGBTQ rights legislation, condemned them. He says Bostock covers status, but not sex-specific dress, bathrooms, pronouns, etc. He cites the limits of Gorsuch's Bostock decision. He rejects the idea that status and conduct are inextricably linked in law, but of course they are.
Of course they are. What he's saying is you cannot discriminate against someone for being transgender or for being lesbian or gay or bisexual. You cannot discriminate against them. But you do not have to use their preferred pronouns. You do not have to let trans people use the bathrooms that correspond with their lived gender. You are perfectly okay to police dress. All of that is considered correlated conduct, but not intrinsic to their essential.
It's awfully complicated. We get terrible decisions out of Texas all the time. I hope that this one can be overcome. But he is citing Gorsuch's, decision in Bostock and saying, well, they didn't settle a lot of issues in that decision.
Well, they don't settle a lot of issues in a lot of their decisions on the Supreme Court, even when they go our way. First of all, they're terrible writers, many of them, especially those on the right. And everything ends up being vague and contradictory. So
we benefited from that in some cases.
Sometimes we do. But in a case like Bostock is messy in this way and open to this kind of exploitation. That's the problem.
Speaking of the Supreme Court, they granted the petition of a trans woman from Guatemala who asked for review of her immigration ruling. The Fifth Circuit down there, where this Texas judge is, the Court of Appeals there dismissed her appeal of an adverse ruling from the Board of Immigration Appeals. Her name is Leon Zantos Zachariah. She'd previously been deported from the United States, managed to come back without permission, then told she couldn't apply for asylum because of that. She wants protection under the Convention Against Torture.
There's a lot of discussion. I hear it on a daily basis on the news about, is Biden handling immigration appropriately? What about all these people coming in? And I'm just waiting for the day when Biden and his administration stand up and say, look, you're worried about inflation. One reason we have inflation is because we don't have enough workers to do the jobs. And so everything is becoming more expensive. If you would understand that immigrants enrich our country in so many ways, we could, in fact, as a corollary, do something about inflation.
Well, if you watch the whole history of the United States, the animus against certain kinds of immigrants has been going on pretty much forever. We kept Jews who wanted to come here out during World War II, and they were being murdered, and et cetera, et cetera.
Mastriano would like to keep them out of Pennsylvania now.
Right. All right. I think we should pay tribute to President Biden for pardoning everybody convicted of marijuana possession under federal law. But that's small potatoes compared to what the states need to do. Governor Abbott in Texas, for instance, will not do any pardons. And I haven't heard from Governor Hochul in New York whether she's going to do the pardons. It's complete decriminalization of marijuana has to come from Congress. And how about, while we're at it, some sodomy pardons as well?
We have many things on our agenda, but let's take a little detour and celebrate the students at the University of Florida in Gainesville. Nebraska Senator Ben Sasse has announced that he is retiring from Congress so he can become the new president of the University of Florida. Now, he's been nominated to that job. He hasn't 100% gotten it yet, but there are no other candidates for the job.
Oh, there were 700 other candidates, and they picked him.
Well, Ben Sasse gets some love from the left wing for having voted for Trump's impeachment and for being a more reasonable conservative.
Whoop-de-doo.
He is not. And he's a big homophobe and just very conservative on many, many things, and certainly voted for Trump's agenda right down the line.
Well, but he had a zero rating from the Human Rights Campaign. Zero.
So here's how the students at the University of Florida greeted Ben Sasse when he was there to give a talk to the students this week.
Ben Sasse is not going away. Oh, oh. Ben Sasse is not going away. Oh, oh.
Thrilling.
Well, look, just a few weeks ago, he dismissed the need for the Respect for Marriage Act, which has not been voted on in the Senate yet, called it a BS attempt by Nancy Pelosi to divide America with culture wars. Oh, man.
Well, those students with their protest drove him off the stage at the University of Florida. He then went into some private little meeting with a few people. But they, if they're driving him off the stage right now, can the University of Florida really hire him as their new president?
Well, we had a racist as president at the University of Virginia, and students hounded him, but they didn't get rid of him.
I bet they didn't hound him like that.
Oh, they went right into the theater where he's, you know, he wouldn't come to a meeting with blacks, and they came into the theater. They harassed him right there in the theater. It was...
All right. Well, let's see if we can stop Sass before he becomes president.
And let's see if we can get Brittany Griner out. Well, Bill Richardson, who does a lot of that, there is Brittany. Bill Richardson, our former UN ambassador, who does this not on behalf of the United States, but with the coordination of the United States, says that she could be released by year's end. He met with senior Russian officials. The White House has not received a counteroffer to what they proposed, which is to get her and another guy out trading for a Russian arms dealer.
Yeah, the Russians seem to want more than just the one arms dealer. So there's sort of a stymie at the moment of
two for two.
Yeah. Now, Brittany has an appeal hearing on her conviction on October 25th. And the fear is that that will be denied and she will then be sent to a labor camp, which no one is looking forward to. Her wife, Sherelle, has reported that she has had two phone calls with Brittany. The first one went OK. That was fine. But then in the second one, Sherelle says it was the most disturbing call I've ever experienced because Brittany is so terrified of what's going to happen to her and so exhausted by this whole process that she is really fragile. So we certainly want her out of there yesterday. And I hope Bill Richardson is right that there is a chance of getting her out by the end of the year.
Be nice to have an end to the war over there by the end of the year, too. But it's getting worse and worse. All right. In Georgia, Republican U.S. Senator candidate Herschel Walker, you know, now we know that he paid a mistress to have an abortion and also had a child out of wedlock with her, all of which he feebly denies and claims his minister opponent, the Reverend Raphael Warnock of the Ebenezer Baptist Church, doesn't believe in redemption. Warnock has been silent on the scandal, but Herschel's gay son, Christian, in response to the latest revelation, said, "Wear a condom, damn it!"
Herschel Walker is playing the religion card. He is going out and saying he is saved by grace from all his sins, and the electorate is eating that up, so... It's tight there, and we have to try to hold on by our fingernails there and a lot of other places, too.
True.
Let's do another little piece of good news from Ohio, where we certainly hope Tim Ryan can defeat J.D. Vance. Did you see any of the footage from their debate?
Yes.
Vance looked like a complete loser, but it was a selected clip, so who knows? Anyway, at Marymount High School in Ohio, some of the kids got together and thought it'd be a big joke to elect a trans girl there as homecoming queen. They thought they would humiliate her. But in fact, she
Excuse me. Homecoming princess.
You are correct. Homecoming. Really? Okay. She said, "I don't care why you did it. I want it. I'm keeping it." And the community rallied around her. Let's look at the local news report.
Cassie Steiner, who likes to be called Cass, says that she's using this as a teaching moment for those who may have voted for her with ill intention. When community members found out that this was potentially a prank, they stepped up to show her support, and she even got a special escort on the field when other members of the homecoming court declined.
She transitioned this year, so 15 transitioned. Last year at this time, she was the goalie for the boys' JV soccer team.
Kat Steiner is speaking of her daughter, Cass Steiner, a sophomore at Marymount High School.
Deciding to transition was honestly a huge step because I realized that this is who I am and I don't deserve to hide it. I deserve to show people my worth.
Walking in her truth, Cass had support from faculty and friends until a winning vote for homecoming princess turned out to be a different story.
We understood that really there may have been some mean-spirited voting going on behind the scenes, and as a parent, it just broke my heart.
A guidance counselor called and asked Cass if she wanted to step down from her title or continue.
If I step down, then there's nothing I'm getting out of it. There's nothing showing that I'm proud. If anything, hearing the negativity empowered me because it made me realize that they're going out of their way to notice me.
It also empowered other parents and students. Aaron Satterwhite gathered a group to make signs for Cass ahead of the parade.
If you did vote for me for negative intentions, thank you, because I still won the vote and I'm willing to advocate for my community as a whole.
But still, just one missing piece, an escort on the field at the game, and she got the best one, the principal.
Having those people, you know, escort me and be there for me is really empowering and showing the school is there for and they're 100% supportive.
Cass and her mom say the support that they received during the parade was overwhelming. Cass also says to those who did vote with ill intentions, she wishes no hatred on them because no one deserves that. Reporting live here in Marymount, Lacey Roberts, WWT.
That's quite heartwarming.
Correct. Princess, not queen. It's very heartwarming and wonderful that she has enough self-respect and confidence to stand up and say, great, I'm happy to be elected and I'm doing it. And great for the principal and the community to support her. Really terrific.
And also out of Ohio, a Hamilton County judge ruled that the state's near total ban on abortion runs afoul of the state constitution. And it was written, quote, to almost completely eliminate the rights of Ohio women. That puts the ban back up to 20 weeks in place.
Well, you're reminding me that the Republican nominee for Senate in New Hampshire, that retired general, the Balduck or whatever his name is.
Balduck, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, he said, now, abortion rights should be decided by these fine gentlemen in the legislature. And they will take care of you women.
Well, there are no fine gentlemen. There are no fine gentlemen in the Proud Boys. They now have two factions who are turning on each other, both groups accusing the other of racism, pedophilia, and harboring federal employments. Now, I hope they destroy each other and stop terrorizing libraries and LGBTQ pride celebrations. New Zealand has declared them a terrorist group as of June.
Well, I want to go back to some education stories, but since you mentioned the Pride Boys in Tennessee, Jackson, Tennessee has held a pride event peacefully for the last couple of years. But this year, a state representative went public with his outrage at the idea that this event would have some drag show or something. And so the Proud Boys and the Westboro Baptist Church got involved, making threats to the event. And the event had to be moved indoors to keep the Proud Boys and Westboro Church out. But update on Yeshiva University and its LGBT student group. We told you the student group had offered to step aside to let the non-LGBT clubs that had been barred along with them so the university could get away with it. The LGBT club said, let the non-LGBT clubs restart. The university agreed to that. And an outside group called Jewish Queer Youth, which is an Orthodox organization for queer LGBT Orthodox youth, said they will fund the LGBT club so they get to operate, although with outside funding. And the court said that the order that the university must recognize the LGBT club will be put on hold while the appeals process goes forward.
It's all very disappointing. I mean,
it is.
It's also insane that Yeshiva University has hired a right-wing Christian or legal group to defend them on this principle, and also that their law school has an LGBTQ group. None of it makes any sense.
Well, you think that's insane. Then let's go to Louisiana with the story there of what happened in East Baton Rouge.
Oh, my God.
2,000 high school students signed up for a field trip to a college and career fair. But that's not what they got.
They found themselves at the Living Faith Christian Center, separated by sex at birth, except for the trans student who couldn't go with the other boys. Boys were told to do push-ups. Girls were encouraged to forgive their rapists. Some students cried over this. Some students poured water over the heads of trans students without any repercussions for them. An adult read a Bible verse at the beginning of it. Now, the school district paid $9,000 for buses to go to this damn thing and to produce the religious revival. Lawsuits are being considered.
They were also told that they could not be fed. They would not be given any food unless they filled out voter registration cards. Now, what that means is that the religious organization has all this information on the voter registration cards. And kids under 18 were also forced to fill out voter registration cards, which is illegal. All this so they could get food.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
It's not illegal to fill it out as long as you're going to turn 18 by the time you vote. But, I mean, we did in high school.
And also on Long Island in New York, the Connecticut School Board, I think, is voting this week on the proposal to force teachers to take down political flags and signs, which is aimed at pride flags and signs. The only flags you could fly would be the U.S. and New York State flags. But this is a direct attack on teachers who have pride flags on their walls in their classrooms. And they're defined as political.
Sounds pretty dull. In Michigan, we told you about the Pat Most Library in Jamestown Township. It was defunded by the voters back in August because people were made afraid of gay books there, including the Heartstopper series about gay teens that is a number one hit on Netflix. So the defeated budget was restored by good citizens in the town privately, just like you were talking about coming up with the money. Tax funding of the library is back on the ballot this November.
Well, I hope they vote for it. All right. So
Oklahoma.
Go ahead.
The wicked governor of Oklahoma, Kevin Stitt, signed a bill withholding federal COVID relief funds, $108 million from the University of Oklahoma Medical Center, unless it stops providing gender-affirming care to minors under 18. The governor also wants legislation to ban gender-affirming treatments statewide when they return in February, prohibiting all irreversible gender transition surgeries and hormone therapies for minors, which is very rare, of course, in any case, and always done with parental consent. The place was providing services for young people up to 24. They had ceased serving under 18s. About 100 young people had been under their care. The parents of these children have to go to Kansas or Colorado for services. And Oklahoma will likely be sued for the law. And Vanderbilt University Medical Center also paused gender-affirming surgeries for minors under threat from the government.
And John Stewart had a sit down with the governor of Alabama.
It was the attorney general of Arkansas.
Attorney
and
General.
Just quizzed her very calmly. I hope you've all seen this. I put it on Facebook. We will include it in our email. Sign up for our email at gayusatv.org, and we'll give you the link. But it's all over the internet, and it's being made available by Apple TV for free. So he's just questioning her about their ban on gender-affirming care for minors. And she just keeps saying, well, lots of experts say that it's really bad. She says, well, what experts? Well, I don't have them off the top of my head. You know, I mean, well, he says, no. What organization teaches that this is wrong or says that this is wrong? She can't come up with that. He goes on and on and on. He just corners her. And it's just, I wish all reporters were that effective.
I wish he'd been a little stronger. And I wish he had said, they don't do surgery on young minors. And that's what you're talking about here. And that's wrong and ridiculous. And you're just creating something out of nothing.
Okay. Well, we'll have to get you on the job. But
I often yell at my TV screen when I think reporters are not asking the right questions. But one person asking the right questions was Carolyn Bertozzi, a lesbian scientist at Stanford, a biochemist who won the Nobel Prize for Chemistry with a couple of colleagues. This is the second out LGBT person in the last week to win a Nobel Prize. We're very proud of her.
And she has been out since the 1980s at a time when it could, make major obstacles to your career, but she did it. She won a MacArthur at the age of 32 in 1999. She said she'd experienced a lot of homophobia in her college years, but she said, surprisingly, being a woman was and still is worse than being a lesbian in my field.
Doesn't surprise me in the least. And she has kids and, of course, had to do most of the child rearing as she was doing her Nobel Prize winning work. All right.
In Virginia, the Richmond School Board approved a transgender student protection resolution in defiance of Governor Youngkin's pending policy overturning statewide protections. And you have until October 26th to comment on that.
All right. In Texas, in Houston, there has been an arrest of a guy for the murder 2 years ago of a trans woman, Asia Foster. We have a local news report on that.
Happening now, a man wanted for the murder of a transgender woman is due to make his first court appearance. Asia Foster's death 2 years ago rattled the trans community. ABC 13's Maya Shea joining us now live after speaking with Foster's mother. She's been waiting a long time for this arrest. We're talking 2 years again, Maya.
Yeah, she's been waiting for almost 2 years. She never gave up hope, though, Asia Foster's mother telling me that she kept in regular contact with law enforcement. But in her view, the COVID pandemic simply put everything to a standstill until this morning when she got the call that the man accused of killing her beloved daughter is now in jail. This is 32-year-old Jamal Richards, now charged with killing Asia Foster in November of 2020 and then allegedly dumping her body on a side road just west of the Houston Galleria area.
I want to see him do time. I want to see him go to jail. I want to see him wake up every day and do that same process every day for the rest of his life.
Asia's mother, Bert Foster, got the call this morning. She's waited for nearly 2 years that Richards is behind bars. According to court documents, Foster went to meet up with Richards at his apartment complex near the Galleria that November evening. A short while later, her body was found nearby. And for almost 2 years, relatives wondered if Asia Foster would just be another statistic in the alarming murders of transgender women.
A lot of transgender are being targeted, and they fear for their life all the time. And I'm like, why? Why? They're just human beings. Yeah, humans trying to live their life. And and this hate.
But finally, as the haze of the pandemic lifted on all aspects of daily life, there was a DNA match. Investigators say Richard's DNA was found on Foster's body.
They told me they have an absolute match. That's why he's in custody.
And now, as the Foster family begins what could be a long process through the court system, they can finally focus on the memories of their beloved daughter.
My daughter was always playful. She loved to sing. She was always happy. Never mad about anything. So, you know, like I said, when this happened, it was just like unbelievable. She was always a joy, just a joy to be around.
While this horrible violence is coming to our attention more and more than it, in ways it did not used to, because people were dead named and we never even heard about them, it's wonderful to see the family standing up, and that's making a big difference.
Exactly. Also in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Clayton Hubbard was arrested for the murder of a trans woman, Regina Maya Allen, who was 35 years old. We've told you about her case, and it's good to see that the police effected an arrest there, too.
It took him about a month. He was charged with first-degree reckless homicide. They were seen arguing in a car, and then shots were heard. So there you are. In Colorado, Jack Phillips, you remember him. He won a partial ruling on religious grounds not to bake a gay wedding cake out there. He's now challenging a ruling that he violated the state anti-discrimination law by refusing to make a cake celebrating a transgender transition. Lawyers are seeking a reversal on procedural grounds. Phillips' wife had originally agreed to make a cake until the customer indicated what it was for.
Please. In Virginia, in D.C., the Truth Wins Out organization is warning that conversion therapy activists are all over Capitol Hill lobbying for repeal of any anti-conversion therapy laws. And the movement is getting very strong, trying to make sure that there are no more anti-conversion therapy laws passed. Keep your eye out for that.
All right. So the trial of Kevin Spacey, a lawsuit, is underway in New York. Anthony Rapp, when he was 14 years old and Spacey was 26, says that, you know, he picked me up, put me on a bed, laid on top of me and caused an enormous emotional distress. He is saying $40 million worth of emotional distress back in 1986. Spacey originally, when this came out, and this is the charge that really sank him and caused 20 or 30 other people to come forward and say, he did a lot of that stuff to me as well. But Spacey at the time said, I have absolutely no memory of this. Maybe I was drunk, blah, 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 blah. Now his lawyers are in there saying, here's what happened. And I only, you know, brushed him here and I only touched him here. So he's trying to put up a big defense. There was no kissing, undressing, no reaching under clothes, no sexual statements. Rapp's lawyer told the jury what happened. Rapp's lawyer said, please, this has nothing to do with anybody's sexual orientation. You know, this is not about him being gay or Spacey being gay. If you are tempted to say that men who love each other are not deserving of justice, then we might as well pack our bags and go home.
Well, Spacey is not charged with sexual assault because this happened in 1986 and the statute of limitations has run on that. It's too late to charge him with that. So he is being charged with battery and intentional infliction of emotional distress in a civil suit. This is not a criminal prosecution.
Well, they're playing hardball. Spacey's lawyer described Rapp as troubled and said he fabricated the molestation because he was jealous of Spacey's success and that Rapp resented Spacey for not coming out of the closet. But another unnamed youth will testify that Spacey assaulted him as a youth in 1981. And as I said, more than 20 men have come forward and accused him of sexual misconduct. He does face criminal charges in the United Kingdom.
Yeah, but these cases are all turning into hardball now. You know, Harvey Weinstein's on trial in L.A. again, and I'm sure that's going to get only uglier. Medical groups are asking the U.S. Department of Justice to investigate the threats we keep hearing about against hospitals and clinics for providing trans health care.
Absolutely.
And it's becoming so violent there that these mainstream medical groups are saying, please, government, investigate this and get involved, because these are getting worse and worse.
It's a plague.
Yeah.
On the other hand, in New York, they put up a plaque in New York dedicated at 204, 206 East 7th Street, where lived poet Allen Ginsberg and writer William S. Burroughs, and where they hosted Jack Kerouac. So all these, they lived there in 1952 and 53. So some of the folks who knew them way back when, and that's Andrew Berman from the Greenwich Village Society for Historic Preservation there on the left, who pushed this plaque.
And congratulations to news anchor Nora Reichardt in Iowa. Her local 5 News team celebrated her for coming out as trans and talked about how proud they were of her, which is not something
there's a 16-minute video about this that they posted, and they ran on the air. And I'm going to link to it in our email. Again, you have to go to gayusatv.org, go to our homepage. You can sign up for our email if you're not already on it. And that's also where you can help us out and keep us going with a kind donation. Thank you.
And there's a new thing called the Real Allies Database being put together by accountableforequality.org, which is a real detailed rundown of corporate donations to politicians and who's donating for us and who's donating against us. So there's a handy place to look for all that information.
All right.
All right. International news.
Okay. Drum roll, please. The first Eastern European nation to institute marriage equality is Slovenia. The parliament authorized same-sex marriage and adoption by same-sex couples. It is the first country in Eastern Europe to do it.
At the urging of the
I'm getting to that. The vote was 48-29. In early September, the High Court ruled 6-3 that the bans were unconstitutional and ordered the parliament to fix it in 6 months. So they did it sooner, they just did it, and our Senate has yet to ratify the Respect for Marriage Act, for God's sakes.
And all over Central and South America, they're resisting the orders there to legalize same-sex
marriage. Some are.
Thank you, Slovenia. In Japan, a same-sex couple, one Japanese national and one American who were married in the U.S., have won a special visa to have the Americans stay in Japan long term. He is not being granted actual residency, but he is being allowed to have some kind of legal status of staying in the country long term. The court.
In Russia, they fined TikTok 3 million rubles, that's $51,000, for refusing to delete content the government says violates the law against LGBTQ propagananda. The law also forbids radical feminism and what they call distorted views of traditional sexual relations.
Also in Russia, they have prepared a propaganda film to show to all those people who are trying to flee Russia rather than go into the army. The propaganda film shows these Russians about all the horrors they would encounter in the United States. Gay people, black people, and vegetarians.
That is pretty hilarious. And, the question really has to be, do you want to go become cannon fodder for President Putin, or do you want to deal with black and gay people?
And vegetarians, yeah.
All right. In the United Kingdom, the new failing Prime Minister Liz Truss at her party conference last week in Birmingham. And during it, there was a party thrown by the LGBT conservatives. They do have a sizable conservative. They have conservative members of parliament who were LGBTQ at a nightclub, but it was crashed by anti-LGBT people who were going to the conference who really tried to bust it up. Now, at least they condemned that, although, you know, Labor said this is a hate crime, and under the conservative government, it's increased quite a bit under the last 5 years. And they said that they would make all LGBTQ-related hate crimes aggravated offenses.
Well, they reported that anti-trans hate crimes are up 56% in 1 year. So that's your UK government. Congratulations to some of the newly elected members of Congress in Brazil. Two trans women have been elected to the Congress. On the left, Duda Salabert, and on the right, Erica Hilton. They do not have to go to runoffs as Bolsonaro does against Lula, which will happen on the 30th of October. They are now full-fledged members of the Congress.
And I think we should also say about Russia, it was very heartening to see the Nobel Committee, honor Ukrainian human rights activists, Russian human rights activists, and a Belarusian activist for the Nobel Peace Prize this year. Very they really stuck it to them. Yeah. On the other hand, horrible story out of Israel. A Palestinian man who had fled the West Bank into Israel after his sexual orientation was revealed was kidnapped and brutally beheaded in Hebron. Footage of the lifeless body of Ahmad Hacham Hamdi Abu Marakia, 25 years old, emerged. Palestinian Authority police have opened an investigation into the murder. He had been living in what's called the Different House, which is supposed to be a safe haven for LGBTQ and Palestinian and Arab Israelis. The group was working on relocating him to another country because Israel is not a safe place for them.
Horrible story. And again, one questions, where did all this violence in the world come from and all this hatred and war and beheadings and kidnappings and everything else?
Well, I go back to Ann Northrup's quote that we're a failed species. And we just when we could be taking care of each other and making everybody rise, but often don't. But we often do as well. We try to give you good stories. This is sort of a happy story out of China. Hundreds of same-sex couples are getting legally married in Utah. The state, we've told you about this before, vis-a-vis Israel, the state does not have a residency requirement. And in Provo, international marriages are allowed online. So it's easy. So here's a gay couple in China. They set up cameras and a party and everything else. So it's easy to do it. But a word of caution, marriage isn't always easy. It carries many rights and responsibilities.
And when the Chinese government finds out they're married in the U.S., what will those rights and responsibilities be? And are they just being signed up for the Mormon Church's ancestry registry?
Wow, that's an interesting point.
Well, you know, it's not an accident that Utah is the state that is doing this.
In Rwanda, you've heard that Britain and Denmark and some other European countries are deporting asylum seekers to Rwanda, something welcomed by President Paul Kagame. He seems to be the president for life, for financial benefit and geopolitical gain. But they are not welcoming LGBTQ asylum seekers, some of whom are jailed and threatened with expulsion. Rwanda is also a country that suppresses political dissent and free speech.
So people without a country, thrown out of the UK, not welcome back in Rwanda.
Well, I hope that Britain and Denmark aren't sending their gay asylum seekers to Rwanda. Or I frankly,
they have in the past.
Yeah.
All right. Segue story to AIDS news.
Yes.
In the UK, the Conservative Health Minister, Therese Coffey, is refusing to order more monkeypox vaccine. She says, we don't need it. We don't want it. Go away.
Right. She says it's not value for money. That left health officials in absolute shock. And she has a long anti-LGBTQ record as a member of parliament.
A long record, pro or con?
Con.
Well, you just said she had a long record.
Oh, well, anti-LGBT. Sorry, folks. Thank you, Ann. I'm very glad I do this show with you.
Well, this is why we do it together, and it's why I'm suspicious of single anchors. There's no one there to, work with them and offer various points of view.
You need to be doing the show with John Stewart.
No, thank you.
Okay. Also from the UK, relative to monkeypox, the study found no human-to-pet transmission. There were reports that it had happened in Brazil and France, so they think it's still theoretically possible, but they studied it and they couldn't find it.
All right.
I would just want to say in AIDS news, Ann Northrup is among those being honored at the Treatment Action Group Research and Action Awards on November the 14th. She's a veteran of ACT UP and has been the co-host of Gay USA for more than 25 years now. Also being honored are the founding member of TAG, Laura Morrison, Dr. Amita Gupta of Johns Hopkins, and Dr. Kelly Dooley of Vanderbilt. You're in great company.
I am, and you can come to those awards in person at the Angel Orenkant Center on the Lower East Side, which is a great venue, or watch online. Go to the Treatment Action Group website, and you can find all the details. But speaking of opinions, did you watch the Nova Ending HIV in America show?
I did. Most of it.
I hated it.
Yeah, it was very basic.
They could have produced it 10 years ago. It was very disappointing. Basic HIV review and, development of drugs.
Not what you expect from Nova, which ought to be hard hitting and get behind the scenes and find out what's going wrong still.
And up to date. And when they said, and men who have sex with men constitute 2 to 3% of the population. That's one time I was yelling at my television set. The whole point of calling it men who have sex with men is to capture the entire population of that, which could be 50%, but is certainly not 2 to 3%. So sorry about that. Gilead says it's tracking the kingpins of a plot to put counterfeit HIV drugs in used drug bottles. Well, I'd like them to track the kingpins of their company who are overcharging for all these drugs. Let's get right on all of that. And good news from the New York courts. The appellate division has, bad news from the New York courts. The appellate division upheld the order from 2015 for Robert Suttle, HIV positive, to be forced to be on the sex offender list because 13 years ago, he was convicted in Louisiana for having sex with a partner and not disclosing his HIV status. That led the state of Louisiana to order him to register as a sex offender. And New York State, which has no such law, said, because Louisiana ordered him, we will follow their lead and force him to be on the sex.
And, this was done by the DA of Manhattan, Alvin Bragg, whoever Republican in the state is running against as a turn 'em loose guy. And yet here he's being a hard ass. And it's just disgusting.
It is. So I hope Robert continues to pursue this. But, man, how discouraging. All right. We have just under 10 minutes and a lot of entertainment news.
Well, the number one hit on Billboard's chart last week was Bad Habit by 24-year-old Steve Lacy, spacey, pensive ballad driven by a slightly warped guitar. Lacy emerged as a teenage member of the Internet, which is the name of an offshoot from Odd Future, the hip-hop ensemble that gave us Frank Ocean. Lacy can comfortably bridge rhythm and blues, hip-hop, and alt-rock.
I watched the video, the music video for it. It's a nice, non-offensive, has a nice little beat song, but nothing.
And we will link to it in our email. Go to gayusatv.org.
Here's what I'm excited about. Another Christmas movie This one is lesbians and horses not having sex with each other. It's called Christmas at the Ranch. It will be available on video on demand shortly. Lindsay Wagner's in it as an adult character, but mostly it's these young lesbians. We have the trailer for.
I'll have my cell phone, I'll be checking email, and I will be working remotely.
The prodigal child hath returned.
Good to have you back.
You know, I've worked here for almost 3 years and I've never even met her.
And I'm talking to a horse.
My friends call me Kate.
Could you please just try to get along?
Fine. She's not very fond of me.
When you come in are over?
All I want for Christmas this year is someone to share it with.
Coke.
It's freezing outside.
Look, I'm not a total amateur.
Yeah, that's totally it. I haven't stopped thinking about you. Me too.
Well, they didn't show an actual kiss in the trailer, but they're headed that way.
There better be.
There's nothing more stereotypical than lesbians and horses.
Okay. All right. So I have two Broadway shows to recommend quickly. Leopoldstadt is Tom Stoppard's latest and his most personal. It's a saga of a mostly assimilated Jewish family in Vienna. Yes, that's a Christmas tree in their Jewish home. And from 1899 to 1955, a cast of 26, but it all takes place in one room over the decades. Even as Jews advance and integrate, they are confronted with all kinds of anti-Semitism, including the most lethal, of course, Nazism. It was very emotionally moving, but I hope it also moves people away from the bigotry that kills. And then I saw Cost of Living. Now, this has been around for a while, and it won the Pulitzer by Martina Majdzak. It's a four-character play about all the lonely people. Where do they all belong? It opens with a crackling monologue and then is driven by pairings of people with disabilities and those who care for them or who want to care for them. It won the Pulitzer, as I said. It ought to win hearts with a moving but very unsentimental look at these relationships, directed by Joe Bonney at the Manhattan Theater Club.
But in addition to these lovely plays and Christmas at the Ranch, the most anticipated event of this week is the return of Dairy Girls, season three, sadly the last season. There are only, you know, less than 20 episodes for all three seasons combined. I am going to wait to watch the third season. I'm going to rewatch seasons one and two and savor season three, which has been getting ecstatic reviews. This is on Netflix, D-E-R-R-Y, Dairy Girls, Northern Ireland. Hilarious. Watch it with subtitles because the accents are a little impenetrable.
Okay. The Halloween special Trick or Treat Scooby-Doo confirms what we've always known, that the character of Velma is lesbian, voiced by an out lesbian, Linda Cardellini, she's out. Velma was gay in the initial script in 2001, but studio watered that down. Now Velma will be going out with costume designer Coco Diablo.
And what I love about this still from it is Velma's expression as her crush touches her shoulder. it just cracks me up every time I see it.
It's the last weekend to see our pal Nora Burns' spectacular show, Village, a Disco Musical, at Dixon Place downtown. It's an evocation of 1979 hedonism in Greenwich Village based on our town. Now, it's through October 15th at Dixon Place. Go to DixonPlace.org for info. It may have another one-week extension.
And the New Fest LGBTQ plus Film Festival is on in New York City. A couple of things to look for on the 16th, this weekend, I guess, a documentary, The Return of Tanya Tucker, featuring Brandi Carlile. Now, Brandi Carlile is everywhere these days, including at Madison Square Garden next weekend. But she heard that Tanya Tucker, the great country singer, was sort of nervous about any kind of comeback. So she led her into performing again. And this is a documentary about that, which I am just dying to see. It's also going to open at the Angelica in New York on the 21st of October. So you can catch it there if you miss it at Newfest. And a documentary we've recommended to you several times as it's popped up in film festivals. Esther Newton Made Me Gay, about the great queer theorist and her professional and personal life. That is playing at Newfest on the 21st and will be available online. So if you go to newfest.org, you can look at the whole extensive smorgasbord of films, and don't let that daunt you. Look for a few that you'd like to see and do that.
And we'll link to that in our email as well. We read this week that theater director Bob Kalfin has died at the age of 89. He produced innovative theater from the mid-60s. That's him in the front there. From the mid-60s through the 1980s, starting at the Chelsea Theater Company, worked with and was the life partner of the production manager, George Barry, who died in 2013. Bob directed more than 200 productions, 5 Tony Awards, 21 Obies, early breaks given to Meryl Streep, Christopher Lloyd, Tova Feldshuh, F. Murray Abraham, Charles Durning, Frank Langella, Mercedes Rule. I saw his co-revival with Hal Prince of Leonard Bernstein's Candide on Broadway, which was an absolutely seminal theater experience for me. It was just amazing. He did lots of experimental work, and their slogan was, "You may hate it, but you won't see it anywhere else." He was a true visionary.
Well, I think that's a great aim to do unique work that is not replicative of anything else. And
tell me something new. Tell me something I don't know. That's what we try to do on this show.
Well, when I was analyzing and thinking about my future decades ago, and I sort of looked around and looked at people who seemed to be successful and happy. And they were all people who were doing something unique, who were not trying to swim with the mainstream. They had their own original ideas and plans and goals. And that's what they did. And that made them happy and successful. And so that's what I tried to pursue.
Thanks for being with us. By the way, Strange Loop is closing on January 15th. That's a visionary show as well.
Yeah, it is. We have a few seconds. Do sign up for our email at gayusatv.org so you can get all these extras that we've talked about. They're available for you right there in our email show note every week, and I think you'll enjoy that. gayusatv.org. And we will see you next week here on Gay USA.
Bye-bye.